What's going on, Clipper Nation? It is me, solo positive Chuck Mockler, here to give you Thursday's episode of Locked on Clippers, part of the Locked on Podcast Network. Usually, it is myself and Will the Opinion Updike. He is out of town. He's taking a little vacation after getting laid off, so I'm not sure if that timing is good or bad. But we bring you the daily Clippers content. Also, bit of a spoiler alert, I guess. I'm going to be doing a live stream after the Saturday game against the Kings. Oh, thank the Lord, basketball is back. But for today, we're going to be talking the Ringer article about the Clippers playoff lineups. It's getting to be about that time to start worrying about playoffs. So, hey, we might as well start worrying about it together. Of course, every Thursday is Hot Take Thursday, where you can call in to our Google Voice number and leave your hot takes. You can call 213-986-7354, and we will play your take on the pod. We'll react to it. It's a fun time. We're not going to freeze and cold take you, so don't worry about anything coming back to bite you, unless you say something truly insane, in which case, hey, that's on you at that point. And then we're going to wrap things up with some shavings. Just kind of want to talk about the media fallout, which does have to do with kind of the Hot Take Thursday. But yeah, a bit of a slow news week with the All-Star break, but luckily basketball is right around the corner. So yeah, let's get into it. The Ringer, if you saw it, if you didn't sing it, had an article kind of about contenders' locks for playoff closing lineups, which we have the pieces, pretty much, 100%. We have the pieces. The main point, I think the last sentence of this article actually is, the Clippers have everything that they need. They just need to, you know, be able to put it together. The Ringer had locks for the Clippers playoff closing lineup being Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Marcus Morris, and Montrezl Harrell. Based on Doc's minutes, I don't think this is that crazy. You know what I mean? He loves Harrell down the stretch. He does not like Zoo down the stretch. I do think it's a little bold for them to give Morris the lock in there this early, given we haven't seen him on a full-strength Clippers team yet. But he does seem to have the trust of Doc. Doc has played him at the five. Doc has given him time. So it's a little odd, but, I mean, with how things have played out, they're probably right on this one. Looking at those locks, that's four out of the five. So, hey, we got, you know, 80% of everything locked up. There's only one spot to fill. Their others for who is most likely going to take that spot is Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, Landry Shamet, and newly, I guess not newly technically yet, Reggie Jackson. The article had an interesting quote. They said that the Clippers are their best with a smaller and more versatile offensive player at the five. Harrell is essentially a fourth wing. He's an elite role man who can beat slower centers off the dribble while also being able to switch screens and stay in front of smaller players on defense. Are we 100% sure we're at our best with Trez at the five? I think on offense, we're at our best with Trez at the five. But the term closing lineup to me, I would personally rather have more of a defender at that five spot if we're going to be against, say, I don't know, a traditional big who's maybe having a good game in the playoffs. But this one does, I don't know. I don't think, we talked about it on yesterday's pod, we don't think Doc's really going to change any of the minutes or anything like that in terms of the centers, so we are going to see Trez down there. So it begs the question of, for that open spots, do we want Lou, the pick and roll maestro? Do we want Bev, the defender? Shamet, the kind of quasi-combo Deadeye. In terms of the pick-and-roll thing, the Ringer brought up an interesting point that the weakest point of the Clippers' rotation this year is the pick-and-roll. We don't, you know, opposing teams attack those two guys on defense. And so this is where, you know, kind of what I just said with that closing lineup is, if we need scores, then yeah, let's have Lou fill this empty spot with Trez. That's awesome. You know, we've all seen that work well. But the defense is where it's like, I'm not sure if we're down 7-8 points or something like that with less than 3 minutes left or whatever, if I want Lou out there ceding some defensive responsibilities. And then when it comes to Reggie Jackson, he's a ball dominant guard and he likes to run pick and rolls. So that, I mean, if we see, I'm just not sure we see Doc putting his trust in Reggie to do that in a situation where Lou could be out there, because the defense is, it's not like Reggie Jackson is a giant step up from Lou. And we haven't really seen his usage yet, so I think we can kind of rule Reggie Jackson out for this spot. This is also assuming everyone's fully healthy. full disclosure. So I think we can rule Reggie Jackson out kind of completely for this, you know, open spot or whatever it is. They think that the lock is Patrick Beverley. I mean, yeah, this is who I want 100%. Even if we're down a little bit, I think I totally agree with this pick. He can make threes. You know, Shamet is not someone who I want on the closing lineup at all. This is the first time I've mentioned him except for the top of the segment. So I think we need a legitimate point guard out there. Shamet can't do that. We talked about how getting Magruder really helps out those Shamet at point minutes, which aren't really the best. And I think having Bev out there, the defense gives you peace of mind. I think it probably maybe gives the guys on the court a little bit of peace of mind. Not that they're totally obviously conscious of that while they're playing, but it's one less thing to worry about is Bev's defense compared to Lou's defense. And if he's shooting the ball well, you know, if he's at that 37% window or anything above that, obviously, it's a top-to-bottom guy, both sides of the ball, that is going to help you close out those games. Shamet, I think, could be kind of in that pre-closing lineup, if that makes sense. He's going to get some late-game minutes. We've seen Doc kind of go to him over Lou already. Granted, regular rotations and things like that get thrown out the window in the playoffs, especially if we end up playing a team like the Rockets, where you have to jumble kind of everything around, I would assume. But I think that lock is Beverley. If you guys... It's really, for me, it's Bev, and then Lou, then Sham. I think it's that order. 2 and 3 are pretty close to each other. Reggie Jackson, I'm just out on based on chemistry. That's no disrespect to Reggie. I'm just not sure if I would be that excited to see Reggie the closer Jackson out there, like in game 5 or 6 of a playoff series or something like that. But I mean, the nice part about this is kind of no matter who we go with, the other four are, you know, Kawhi, PG, Marcus Morris, and Trez. So it looks so good on paper and just saying the lineups out loud. I just want to be able to see them. We're going to have a lot better idea of these closing lineups when everyone's healthy. Still waiting on an injury report as of, what is today, Wednesday? It's Wednesday, 6:27 p.m. as I utter these words. We're still waiting on that injury report to know who's a good to go for that matinee game on Saturday. This is based on nothing. I don't think PG plays. I think he's hanging out for a matinee game. Doc kind of hates matinee games. And I really hope Bev plays on a minutes restriction. I don't want Bev to go full out. He didn't look spry, really, in the skills competition. And so I'd like Bev to be on a minutes restriction. It gives Reggie Jackson, if everything is done, I actually probably don't think he'll play in that game. It gives Sham, get Bev out there for the first like 15 minutes play. You know, he was on a minutes restriction already. I'm still curious to see what the minutes restriction is for a lot of other guys. Cause Doc always kind of talks about how like a bunch of guys are on minutes restrictions, but if PG is out and Bev is out there, I'm not sure that fake Landry Shamet one still exists, but I don't know. Who knows? If you have thoughts about the Clippers closing playoff lineup, which is something we're going to have to start really thinking about. The Clippers, actually, there was a great Andrew Greif piece, and the quote was basically like, we're not panicking, but we know we have to ramp it up to get ready for the playoffs. And it's like, well, I mean, sounds like the chillest way to say you're panicking ever, which I think some of us identify with being able to say that. But no, I think we're going to be all right. Like I said, those four other pieces are amazing. It's just getting that Doc making the right decision on that fifth one and getting them all fit together. Let me know your thoughts on a closing lineup. You know, I'd want to see Zoo. I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately. So we can trade those back and forth all day and be really excited about some Jermichael Green, Zubat's potential closing lineups, but I don't think Doc is ever going to do that, alas, because those are some good minutes when those two are out there together. Coming up after this, we're going to be doing Hot Take Thursday. We have a take from Dominic. He's a little upset at the media. Right now, you know, we got to give a shout out to Arizona. If you're trying to follow your favorite baseball team this spring, you need to head down to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Arizona has amazing weather and landscapes. Landscapes are actually very large plates of lamb, if you want to go check those out. Exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona's the perfect home base for baseball fans. You can follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona. There's 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75-degree weather, and 10 stadiums within 50 miles of where you are. Check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby. Tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Enjoy live music from local and national artists and explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. And Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes and thrilling outdoor adventures. Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, jet skiing, or just taking a sunset at a brewery. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. Check off must-see destinations from your bucket list like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and beautiful Tucson. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That is visitarizona.com/springtraining. Okay, welcome to Hot Take Thursday. One more time, you can always leave your hot takes to be played for the Thursday episode at 213-986-7354. We have one from Dominic. He's a little upset at the media and some of the press the Clippers have been getting.
Yo, this is Dominic. Just wanted to talk about the biasness of what's going on in the media, especially with the addition of Reggie Jackson. Just watching Undisputed, which is hilarious, to watch Shannon, you know, just keep moving the goalposts. But I noticed that it's been kind of a common thing where anything Clippers do, they kind of, you know, poo-poo it. And LeBron, he's great and he's going to, you know, beat it with what it is. But it's funny because like 2 weeks ago when they were talking about Darren Collison, coming over, you know, how much the Lakers needed him. And, you know, he was going to be the one that, the offense fell off a cliff whenever LeBron took off the court. And, you know, how he didn't need him. And now when we get Reggie Jackson, and of course they're not able to get Collison, you know, they switch up now and it's now, well, you know, that's just too much for the Clippers. And, you know, LeBron, they didn't need him anyway because he wouldn't have played any minutes anyway because, you know, he'd be behind Rondo. So it's just kind of funny, no matter what the Clippers do, they always just built in biases among media members to kind of, you know, shove them under the rug. I'm looking forward to the end of the season, see us holding, you know, that Larry O.B., as Steve Ballmer like to say, and, you know, show the nation what we can do. So, you know, hopefully you guys can talk about this a little bit more in the show. Keep doing what you guys do. Thanks.
Okay. I mean, he makes some good points. We've all seen how, you know, kind of the gaggle of idiots, which is like, you know, right. Shannon Sharpe to an extent. There's this thing where, I mean, Dominic nailed it. It's like, oh, the Clippers get Reggie. Well, he's not that good anyway. You know, who's he going to take time away from? Lakers don't need him. Because that's really what this is rooted in. It's rooted in this very much pro team across the hall, anti-Clippers team bias that the media has for hot takes specifically. I'm going to give actually my own hot take in a second. There are these built-in biases when it's a team like the Clippers, who have historically obviously been a punching bag for not only jokes, but for other teams sometimes. There is a built-in bias that anything we do is kind of the wrong decision. People talk about how we gave up too much for Paul George, conveniently forgetting we had to do that to get Kawhi. You just have these things of, you know, the Lakers don't get Collison. No, that's no big deal. They're fine anyway. But if we were to add him with that 15th spot, it would be seen as, oh, this is a move just to keep, you know, X player off the Lakers or something like that. We don't do moves like that. The Clippers front office, for the people who have been paying attention, doesn't make, I don't think, A, petty moves or B, short-sighted moves like that. It's frustrating. I'm sure everyone listening to this pod agrees with Dominic. But I have my own hot take. I think in terms of legitimate criticisms, because what Dominic is talking about, it's a very legitimate take for sure. It makes people mad. It's not, we can all kind of take solace in the fact that there, it's not concrete criticisms. It'd feel a lot worse if people were criticizing, you know, if these loud idiots in their loud way were criticizing Doc for, say, you know, Trez's minutes situation, injury management, shout out to that Grizzlies and Knicks back-to-back, or just like the rotations as a whole. They're reacting to these insane things. I think for the most part, the media has been kind of too nice to the Clippers. There's a lot to be, things could be so much for this, things could be so much worse for this team, kind of media-wise, when you sit back and think about it. We have these outlandish takes flying around, but the people who have, you know, rational ones, and they're not saying it as loud, so it's getting swept under the rug a little bit. I'm happy that, you know, Jay Wright and those kinds of people aren't talking boisterously, loudly, hyperbolically about Trez's minutes and everything like that, because that would actually hurt. That would be a legitimate, like, God damn, they got us on this. You know what I mean? Like, they got us on this one, because that is something a lot of us agree needs to get fixed. The media in general is going to kind of be the theme of the rest of this podcast. The next segment I'm going to be talking a little bit too. But from attack perspective, things just could be so much worse for the Clippers. And we only really seem to get brought up when we make a move or something like that. Or say when Kawhi wins the All-Star Game MVP. It's these things where it's an event, people kind of talk about it, it goes away. And I'm not talking about, you know, trolls on Twitter or something like that. But like in terms of the, you know, mainstream shows and stuff, you know, there's Reggie Jackson signing, that's going to go away in a couple days when it happens. There's the load management, which does seem to get brought up when people need stories, which is annoying. Shout out Rick Beecher. It's just the irrationality that makes me fine with, like, it's so easy to just deal with an irrational take because it's not rooted in any actual tangible information. I don't know. I feel like I'm repeating myself for sure. There's just some real things they could be going at us for. The training staff, If I were a reporter who, you know, was maybe hurting for a piece and wanted a different Clippers piece, it'd be like, oh, man, we got to look at this injury situation because it's been bad luck this year. Personally, I do not think it's the staff in any way. If you look at last year, they kept, I don't want to say everybody, they kept the majority of that medical staff. And that was the same medical staff that got Danilo Gallinari to, you know, like his highest games played. He only missed something like 8-9 games last year or something like that. I don't think it's medical staff at all, but there's just some other things, excuse me, that people could really go at us for. I think we can kind of count ourselves lucky that the criticisms we're getting are these completely out of this world takes. I'm sure a lot of people maybe disagree with that, but I'm not going to say it's not annoying. You know, I'm not going to say I like having to quote Kendrick Perkins' dumbass tweets and then say something about it. Matt Chong gave a great pro tip today on Twitter. Pro tip, mute Kendrick Perkins. Everyone should maybe go do that if you want to save some of your sanity, I guess. That wraps it up for Hot Take Thursday. Again, if you ever want to leave your hot take, it's 213-986-7354. It's a Google Voice number. We're not going to answer. But yeah, leave a hot take and we will absolutely get to it. Coming up after this, we have Shavings. Okay, welcome to Shavings. So, just talking about the media and how I've been psyched how the team has handled the media as a whole this year. And I guess I shouldn't say the media, I should mostly say pressure. Like Dominic said in that last segment, the team's identity completely flipped in such a short amount of time. You know, we went from roaches, we do it for the people in the back. Not that they still don't do it for the people in the back, but now we're the championship team that does, contender team that does it for the people in the back, which is a lot to deal with. There's really only been one quote-unquote thing this year in terms of, you know, chemistry or pressure and stuff, and that was the Athletic's social media person's fault, whoever writes their tweets. It was not Jovan Buha's fault. He did a fantastic job on that report. Shout out, Jovan. We've made it through that, seemingly. The team seems very comfortable with itself. If you saw how much gambling they were doing in a bowling alley with Paul George, they were definitely having a good time. Even with Trez's big energy and his speech after the Grizzlies games, things are going well. There's new additions that like have a good fit. You know, Morris, as soon as the signing was announced, guys were going crazy on Twitter. They were really excited. Reggie Jackson, doesn't really use social media that much. I checked out his Twitter. Very not active. I think his last Instagram post was for Kobe, and the one before that was from November. So, not sure if... I'm assuming there's communication going on between those guys. He is going to end up signing with us. But it could have been a lot worse. It's not like that it's been easy, but it hasn't been easy in the sense that guys are working towards it. You know? Like, it's not... Being in the locker room, it doesn't feel like there's animosity at all. It just feels like there's guys who are still kind of getting used to each other and having to deal with just frustrations of kind of an injury-filled, halfway to the brim, pessimistically-filled season up to this point. And the player's doing a fantastic job. We absolutely have to give them credit. But we also have to give a shout-out to Doc and the front office for, A, getting guys who are going to fit, and, B, getting them up to this point. You look at Doc, and I'm not sure what coach could get the team to this record with this many key guys missing. There's not a lot of other coaches out there who can do that. We're 37-18. We've had a franchise best start at the 30 game mark and the 50 game mark. You go way back to the 17-18 season, Doc is built for this kind of thing. There can't be a more, well, I guess I have to do this again type situation for a coach than this one with Doc. If we are able to knock on the door of the Larry O.B., if we're able to knock on the door, and I think we're for the favorites, the last three seasons have to go down as one of the best three season stretches by a coach in a really, really long time. 17-18, the Clippers went 42-40. Last year, the Clippers go 48-34 on a team that was pegged to win 30 something games or something like that from the Vegas oddsmakers. And as I just said, we're 37-18 right now. The man gets wins. It happens. And I'm not saying we're a lock to win the championship. It's going to be hard, but we are 100% capable, and we are right there. Once everyone gets back, and hell, maybe even a little bit before that, because it's Doc, and we might see him unlock something in his brain that brings a little bit of the chaos, Doc. Maybe we do see some Zoo and Green minutes. I don't know. People were kind of freaking out on Twitter after a couple losses, and it's just like, we're in good hands. You have to look at Doc's whole body of work. There are some frustrating things, 100%. Last year, there were some frustrating things that got us to 48 wins. We made a bunch of noise in the playoffs, but I know that doesn't matter on the whole. Doc definitely has stated that he knows that last year doesn't matter really. But these are encouraging things. The team has weathered so much in terms of continuity, just having a target on your back constantly. And it feels like we're still not at full capacity in terms of momentum. I don't know what mental momentum, I guess, is the term I'm thinking of, but I think you guys know what I'm saying when I talk about just that feeling of a true team, kind of like that steamroller feel where it's like, oh man, if it's on tonight, the unity of this team is going to kick up the performance, you know, that much more. I'm not saying it's not there at all. We're still ramping up to it. We still got, you know, effectively two new guys to add to the rotations and everything like that. But it's there, you know. The framework is there. I will say it will take some of Doc's best coaching to get the Clippers, you know, to the top of the mountain. It does for any coach in this scenario. But I think he has the stamina for it. I think all he does is focus on basketball. I mean, the guy, anytime you talk to him in the press conference, when he's talking about, he doesn't know anything about the injuries. He's truly not involved in front office stuff. I think we're all pretty psyched on that. But he's only focused on getting this chip this year. I know that's the focus every year, but there's something different in how Doc has seemed this year. And I mean that in a good way. I don't know. The point of this is the team from top to bottom has been nothing short of fantastic in what is the most pressure-filled, important season in Clippers history. That is a bit hyperbolic, but if you look at everything, we're in win-now mode. These moves indicate a team that is trying to win now, a team that wants to win now, and everyone's behind it. I cannot wait to see what this team looks like. Over these next, we got a weird stretch. We have kind of these three easier games, and then we have some brutal games coming up. We got a big game against the Nuggets coming up. I'm just excited to see this team get a little more locked in post All-Star break, especially. Guys are going to be fired up. Basketball's back this weekend. Thank God. Yeah, that's me just kind of waxing poetic, I guess, about how fantastic the team as a whole has been in terms of handling the pressure of this year. Let me know how you guys have felt. We did an Updike fun check a couple days ago. Let us know how you feel. Give us your fun check. You can tweet us at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike. Well, maybe not him. He's on vacation. Or at Charles Mockler. That about wraps everything up, as I said. Friday's episode, basketball is back. So I'm going to be previewing the Kings versus Clippers matinee game on Saturday. Hope everyone has a good brunch spot lined up. I'm going to be doing some kind of Love, Marry, Kill. Maybe things that players did on the All-Star break in their free time. Patrick Patterson hung out on a boat. Seems like a lot of fun. They got to see Boat Pat. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, I have been Positive Chuck Mockler. You can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Pods, iPods, I believe they're called, as well as Deezer and Spotify. Go ahead, leave us a review on iTunes, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. Usually I'm joined by William the Opinion Updike. He sends his regards. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler, and I'll be coming at you guys tomorrow.